In Obama's presidential primary debate with Hillary Clinton in Philadelphia on April 16, 2008, ABC News moderator Charles Gibson pointed out statistics from changes in the capital gains tax, including reductions in the capital gains tax put in place by President Clinton, showing that reductions in capital gains tax rates produce more tax revenue, and that the opposite happens. Tax revenues go down when capital gains tax rates are increased. "Well, Charlie," Obama began his answer, "what I've said is that I would look at raising the capital gains tax for purposes of fairness. We saw an article today which showed the top 50 hedge fund managers made $29 billion last year. $29 billion for 50 individuals. And part of what has happened is that those who are able to work the stock market and amass huge fortunes on capital gains are paying a lower tax rate than their secretaries. That's not fair." The higher priority for Obama isn't to raise revenue. It's to ensure fairness. Ed Morrissey, writing on Michelle Malkin's HotAir.com, properly pointed out, "In order to do that, he will have the government take a bigger share of the gains and redistribute them through social programs to others." In the analysis of Obama's experience as a Chicago community organizer trained in Saul Alinsky's radical socialist methodologies, I warned that the slogan "change" was nothing more than a code word for the typical income redistribution those in the left have sought since the days of Karl Marx. Here, in Obama's proposal for increasing the capital gains tax, there is proof. Obama's blindness on capital gains reveals a hard left mindset, Morrissey wrote. He sees investors always profiting and never losing, while the people who work at jobs created by successful investment as victims of this exchange rather than the beneficiaries of it. Yet the secretary, in Obama's example, earns an income because investors have risked capital to create her job. When investment is discouraged, the economy as a whole falters, creating fewer jobs for secretaries as well as all other workers. Morrissey correctly concludes the surest way to start an economic disaster is to increase penalties for investment. To the extent Obama manages to convince more economically sophisticated voters, his economic naivete truly reflects his genuine lack of experience, both in politics and in business. Obama will lose another core group of voters he may not be able to afford losing.